As I was already introduced, my name is Noah Matheny. I'm a lawyer with the Thai AIDS Treatment Action Group. I have slightly changed the scope of this presentation. I was originally only going to look at current free trade agreements, but as this is a panel on trade policy, I'm going to give you a historical context of the different trade pressures that Thailand has faced over the past two or three decades and contextualize it for you, and also talk about civil society advocacy strategies that have developed from these pressures in order to battle them and to try and fight for access to medicines. I have no disclosures. So there are three eras of trade pressure that I'm going to talk about. The first is the U.S. trade pressure from the late 80s, early 90s. The second is trade pressures during the issuing of compulsory licenses by the Thai government in 2006, 2007. And the third will be trade pressures that limit access to medicines in current bi- and multilateral agreements, specifically free trade agreements. And all throughout these three different eras, Thai civil society activism has erupted and really fought to try and gain access to medicines despite all these trade pressures. So the early 1990s, in 1992, Thailand amended its Patent Act under severe U.S. trade pressure. So this sort of set the legal framework for intellectual property protection in Thailand. So the TRIPS agreement, trade-related aspects of intellectual property, it was a WTO IP treaty signed and implemented into 1994, sets a global standard for IP protections. So in 1992, when Thailand passed its act, it was already TRIPS compliant, meaning that it introduced for the first time a pharmaceutical product patent, and it extended patent protection to 20 years. So in 1992, Thailand's patent law already met the 1994 WTO treaty, TRIPS. So unfortunately, the early adoption of Thailand prevented them to develop a local generic pharmaceutical presence. Compare that with India. India did not amend its patent law until 2006, allowing for about 12 years from the adoption of the TRIPS agreement to really grow and develop a very vital generics pharmaceutical presence. But in Thailand, there is a government organization called the Governmental Pharmaceutical Organization that has done research and development into HIV antiretrovirals and some malarial and TB products as well. So during the 1990s, there were only a handful of Thai NGOs that were really working on these health issues, such as the Drug Study Group, which was a coalition organization made up of progressive academics and civil society activists from health side, consumer side, et cetera. And this, in combination with an exploding HIV epidemic within Thailand, led to the creation and formation of local, regional, and national patient advocacy groups, like the AIDS Access Foundation and the Thai Network for Positive People. So through the 1990s, there was a strengthening of the Thai people living with HIV movement and a lot of policy advocacy around that and coalition building with the Drug Study Group and other academic and other natural allies within the NGO community, such as MSF, some government bureaucrats, Doctors Without Borders. And then together they came to wage these advocacy campaigns to fight the trade pressures and try and really get at the heart of access to medicines, and especially ARVs. So there are four campaigns that have been waged. There was a campaign for compulsory license for DDI, which is an antiretroviral. There was a patent opposition case, passage of a universal healthcare bill, and an actual issuance of 7 compulsory licenses by the Thai government. So the first one, the DDI compulsory license. A compulsory license is a license that allows a third party to either import and or manufacture a medicine without the patent holder's knowledge. So what civil society activists were asking was they were asking the Thai, specifically the Ministry of Public Health, to issue a compulsory license on DDI so that the Thai GPO or a third party allowed by the government to import cheaper versions of DDI from India. Unfortunately, the Ministry of Public Health refused, but it increased funding for the GPO to actually do research into generic ARVs, and it discovered and invented a non-patent powder form of it. So this also led to other ARVs being developed by the GPO that dropped the price of ARVs for a year from tens of thousands of US dollars to under $30 a month. So a drastic cost in price that allowed for increased coverage of ARVs for people living with HIV/AIDS. And so that these are just some pictures of that protest. A second campaign waged during the 1990s and early aughts were patent opposition cases. Again, it was being around DDI. Bristol-Myers Squibb held the patent for this medication, and so Tai and Joe's sued the Department of Intellectual Property along with Bristol-Myers Squibb because in the original application, DDI had said, we want a patent for DDI up to 100 milligrams. So what the Thai pharmaceutical, government pharmaceutical organization had done is they had invented around that patent. They had invented a non-powder form that was above 100 milligrams. And so Bristol-Myers Squibb saw this, and so they had tried to amend the original patent application to include all dosage levels. And so there was a lawsuit brought saying that you can't amend the original patent application, this is illegal. And there were two main results from this patent opposition case. One, the lawsuit initially recognized NGOs and Thai AIDS activists to have standing and to actually sue the Department of Intellectual Property and the pharmaceutical company. Before this case, that had never been held. And then the court also upheld the limited version of the patent application. So it kept the 100 milligram patent application and didn't allow for all dosages. A second lawsuit was brought, but Bristol-Myers Squibb was getting such bad publicity that they withdrew the patent application and donated it to the people of Thailand. Very generous of them. A third major advocacy campaign was a campaign for universal health care coverage. In 2002, NGOs came together with PLHIV advocacy groups to get a bill, a people's bill, submitted to the parliament, and you can do this after submitting legislation that has been, if you gather 35,000 signatures at the time, and they did double of that. So when the new government was elected in 2001, they introduced this bill, and a bill was ultimately passed in 2002. Implemented in 2003. However, HIV ARVs were not included on the essential medicines list. So if you were covered by this universal healthcare system, you could still not get your HIV medicines until 2005. But again, after more protests, so in the bottom corner over here, you see the 30 baht. That was what they called the universal healthcare plan. 30 baht coverage ARV treatment, why not? And then the fourth campaign was around pushing the Thai government to issue these compulsory licenses, which they did throughout 2006, 2007, and 2008, including three antiretrovirals, two cancer medications, and a heart disease medication. However, there was a backlash among Western countries and pharmaceutical companies after these CLs were issued. So this is sort of like a second era of trade pressure faced by Thailand. The pharmaceutical company Abbott withdrew all pending applications after the compulsory license was issued for ritonavir, lopinavir, also known as Kaletra. So there were seven pending patent applications that Abbott had submitted, and in retaliation, they withdrew all of them. So any new medications that Abbott was developing, they took away from Thailand. But actually, a case was filed against Abbott saying that this was an anti-competitive nature, and so they sued and won on that claim. And then the U.S. put Thailand on the USTR's priority watch list, saying that they do not respect intellectual property rights and they need greater protections, but some of Michael's colleagues and people at HealthGap have recently filed a complaint with the UN Special Rapporteur on Rights to Health about reforming this priority watch list program. And then the third sort of trade pressure that Thailand is currently facing is through the free trade agreements. U.S. and Thailand started negotiating a free trade agreement in 2004. The negotiations have stalled on and off, both with the change in U.S. administrations, but also continuing political instability right now in Thailand. These negotiations were held in secret, and the draft language of the IP patent section was not leaked until around the sixth round of these negotiations in 2006. The EU was also trying to negotiate a regional trade agreement with ASEAN, which is the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, and that was started back in 2007, but those have sort of broken down. But again, the draft language was kept secret. All the negotiations were done in secret, but we were able to get some of that language through leaks. So sort of the three broad categories that these free trade agreements sort of enhance intellectual property rights is through stronger IP rules, stronger than what is required by the WTO TRIPS agreement, weakening of TRIPS flexibility, sort of like the compulsory license and the patent opposition cases that I briefly mentioned. They're trying to increase the procedural barriers around those, and they're trying to get greater IP enforcement mechanisms included. I won't go into too great a detail because it gets pretty technical, but they're through the use of stronger rules, they're trying to extend the definition of what is patentable, so to make it easier to get a patent, including for new uses of products that are already off patent. So if you combine two products that are no longer patented and say, okay, I have a new use for it and a new product, people have tried to get patents for that. So again, the increasing length of the patent life and the data protection that comes along with that. Also, again, the increasing procedural barriers for TRIPS flexibilities, the issuing of compulsory licenses, who can have standing to challenge those patents, and some of the free trade agreement language. They don't want third parties like Thai NGOs or activists to be able to have that power to have that power to challenge the grants in court. And again, stricter conditions about how you go about issuing a compulsory license, higher compensation, higher data protection. And then the third area is greater IP enforcement measures. So efforts to make generic manufacturers more vulnerable to IP challenges. So allow the number of people, the number of parties who can actually sue generic parties saying that they're infringing their IPR rights. Also, the decreased rights of the generic manufacturer. So if they're sued and said saying that they have infringed IPRs, then the generic manufacturers their rights are reduced in the way that the government sort of shuts them down, and there are increased punishments for that infringement or the alleged infringement. There's also the burden on the state, the country itself, to sort of police and enforce these increased intellectual property rights. So custom agents and border agents in Thailand or wherever will have to now become enforcers of intellectual property rights, something that they're currently not trained to do, and a lot of countries do not have the money to be able to properly train these authorities and agents. And we've already started to see this with the seizure of Indian generic drugs being shipped from India to Brazil via Holland and the Dutch authorities seizing at least seven, if not more, shipments of generic medicines under the auspices of protecting intellectual property rights. Again, there's a delicate balance sort of right now between current WTO standards of IP and what countries are sort of pursuing. But with these free trade negotiations, there's a push to imbalance that scale, to sort of shift it towards greater IPR protection at the expense of access to medicines. And one last international treaty is the Anti-Counterfeit Trade Agreement. And in this trade agreement that's, again, currently being negotiated, there's a conflation of what a counterfeit medicine is and what a generic medicine is. So this counterfeit is the misuse of trademark or appearance, like false labeling on a product. But this is trademark law. And generic is a generic medicine has the same active ingredient and it's governed by patent law. So people who are negotiating, countries that are negotiating this treaty right now are saying we're going after counterfeiting, but we're using legal mechanisms from patent law area to try and get at that, and it's a false dichotomy. Again, the illegal seizures of Indian generic medicines. So again, there's been some Thai activism around the U.S. Thai FTAs. In January 2006, there were 3 days of rallies and protests in Chiang Mai in northern Thailand when the U.S. was trying to negotiate a free trade agreement. The talks were shut down, and high-level public officials said that these TRIPS Plus demands were unacceptable. And again, the EU-ASEAN FTA negotiations have already pretty much broken down. So these are some of the protests from the Chiang Mai FTA. And this is before the red shirt, yellow shirt dichotomy. And right now, there is great pressure in EU-India FTA. Doctors Without Borders has just launched a global campaign called Europe Hands Off Our Medicine. A couple weeks ago, there was a protest in Bangkok against the EU-India FTA, and Thai activists submitted a formal petition to the liaison for the EU ambassador asking them to remove IPR protections for medicines out of that FTA. And these are some of those pictures. There's a Diana sit-in, some rallies. And that's my presentation. Thanks.